John chapter 1, verse 14. I'd like us to think about this verse. It's familiar to many of us, but it's important that we hear what is revealed in this verse of Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 14. I'd like us to read it out loud together. Will you join me? "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." There's a lot there, but I want to call your attention to just three things, three Christmas truths that are revealed in this one verse. And the first one is this, that the Word acted. The Word took action. The Word that was in the beginning with God, the Word that was God, did not stay an invisible spirit. You know, that's what God is. God is a spirit. You can't see Him with your physical eyes. But the Word that was in the beginning with God and was God did not stay an invisible spirit separated from us. I heard the story recently of a little boy whose father went off to war in World War II, and his father was gone for 4 years, and they had one picture there over the mantle that the mother and the son would look at every day. And one day the little boy said, "Mom, wouldn't it be really great if Daddy could just step right out of that picture and be here with us right now?" That's exactly what Jesus did. He stepped out of the glories of heaven. He descended here to live among us. And it tells us something about God. God wants to be known. Christ wants us to know Him. He has come close so that we can get acquainted. Think of the truth of the event we celebrate. This Word, through whom everything has been created, became a creature. Think of that. He created everything and He became a creature. The one who brought the universe into existence now is born within that same universe as a human being. There's mystery involved here. We don't understand everything about it. We fall on our faces and declare glory to God in the highest. Jesus, the verse tells us, tented or tabernacled among us. One paraphrase says, Jesus moved into the neighborhood. And that brought Him almost uncomfortably close to us. But when it talks about Jesus setting up a tent in the neighborhood, it calls to mind a picture from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 33, and the tent of meeting that Moses set up out in the wilderness as a place to meet with God. And it was set up outside of the camp, out in the wilderness, and Moses would go there to meet with God, and the people would all stand watching the tent as the cloud representing the presence of God descended on the tent. And Moses there received instructions from God. The tent of meeting, it was a place outside the camp because God's people had estranged themselves following their making of the golden calf. And now, Jesus becomes our new tent of meeting, but He's not outside the camp, He's not out in the wilderness, He moves into the neighborhood, He draws close. God meets with us in Christ. And He doesn't pitch the tent in the wilderness separated from us. He pitches it in our backyard. Second Christmas truth found in this verse. We received an invaluable gift because of the action that the Word took. The gift to see the glory of God in Christ. We beheld His glory. We have seen His glory. He came, pitched His tent in our backyard, and we got to see His glory. Now, if you've ever done any tenting, you've been in a campground at night, darkness falls, and as the darkness falls, those Coleman lanterns start to light up inside the tents. And you look and you can see this this image of warmth and illumination shining through the fabric of the tents. It's a kind of glory, and this is what Jesus did. He took on human flesh. And it wasn't that his human flesh was so beautiful. In fact, the Bible tells us that there wasn't anything about him physically that drew our attention to him, but spiritually we beheld his glory, the glory shining through the fabric, in a sense, of his earthly tent. Third Christmas truth in these verses: we come to know Christ as full of grace and truth. The Word took the action, came into the neighborhood, giving us the opportunity to see God as he really is. And when we observed this God, we found him to be full of grace and truth. Now, it would have been such a disappointment had he been only one without the other. But he was both, full of grace, full of truth. Grace being love giving itself to those who are undeserving, full enough to share that grace with others. And truth is nothing less than reality. Jesus is the truth. Nothing false or deceitful, the phoniness, the illusions, the fakery, all stripped away. He is the ultimate revelation of what is real. In Jesus, we find truth. In fact, nothing is true unless it aligns itself with Jesus Christ. Perfectly blended, one without the other would not amaze us. She was 15, and he was 17 when they met. And all through high school, they dated. And after high school, it was not a surprise to anyone that they were married. 4 years later, here she was standing in her kitchen with a pile of dirty dishes in the sink, two crying children at her feet, a pile of dirty diapers in the corner. Tears were streaming down her face. Looking back, she could never be quite sure why she made the decision she was about to make, but she did. She took off her apron and walked out. She called that night, and her young husband answered the phone, and he was understandably quite worried and actually quite angry. "Where are you?" he demanded. "How are the children?" she asked, ignoring his question. "Well, if you mean have they been fed, they are, and I've also put them to bed, and they're wondering just as I am, where are you? What are you doing?" She hung up the phone. But it wasn't the last of phone calls. She called, in fact, almost every week for the next 3 months. Her husband, knowing that something was seriously wrong, began in those phone calls to plead with her to come home. And he would tell her that the children were with their grandparents during the day. They were well cared for. But he would tell her, "I love you." He would tell her how much they all missed her and that he would try to find out where she was. But as soon as he would bring that up in the conversation, she immediately would hang up. Finally, the young husband could stand it no longer, so he took out all of their savings and hired a private detective to find his wife. And the detective reported the runaway wife was in a third-rate hotel in Des Moines, Iowa. The young man borrowed money from his in-laws, bought a plane ticket, flew to Des Moines, and after taking a cab from the airport to the hotel, he climbed the stairs to his wife's room on the third floor. And if you had been there, you would have seen the doubt in his eyes, and you would have noticed the perspiration on his forehead, his hands shaking as he knocked on the door. And when his wife opened the door, he forgot all about his prepared speech and said, We love you so much. Won't you come home?" And she fell into his arms, and they went home together. And one evening, some weeks later, the children were in bed. He and his wife were sitting in the living room before the fire. He finally got up enough courage to ask the question that had haunted him for so many months. And he asked, "Why didn't you come home? Why, when I told you over and over again that I loved you and missed you, why didn't you come home?" "Because," she said, with profound simplicity, "because those were only words, but then you came. You came for me." can't get over that you came for me. This is what God has done in Christ. He has come personally. All through the ages, he had sent his prophets. He had revealed himself in creation and in so many mighty acts. But now in Jesus, God has come. He has come to us full of grace and full of truth. During the course of this Advent season, we have been singing Christmas hymns and talking about phrases in each of those hymns. Tonight, the hymn we've selected is Joy to the World, and it has this line in it, He rules the world with what? Truth and grace. It comes from this verse, full of grace and truth, but it adds this little bit, He rules the world. He is the Lord, full of grace, full of truth. He rules the world with truth and grace. These are the truths of Christmas, but they call for a response from us. The 12th verse, just a couple verses before this one, say that Jesus came into the world, but his own people didn't accept him. They didn't receive him, but anyone who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is how you enter into relationship with the God who created you, by believing in the one he sent, Jesus Christ. And I can't think of any better way to celebrate the season than taking that step of personal faith if you never have in your life. I invite you to do that. It's so simple, the first step, to simply acknowledge to Jesus that you've been in rebellion against him, but that you know he came as a great savior of great sinners. Believe in him and ask him to forgive you. He will. And then behold his glory. Read the scriptures. Read the Gospel of John. And as you read the Gospel of John, ask God to open your eyes to the glory of Jesus Christ so that you can behold his glory. And so join the triumph of the skies in praising him for who he is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, truly you are Lord. Truly you are the epitome of grace and truth. Thank you for your love, the love that brought you here. Thank you for loving us, showing us grace, even though we didn't deserve it. Thank you for speaking the truth and living the truth in our place. Thank you for the promise of complete forgiveness and cleansing, of complete acceptance the moment we trust you to save us. Lord, I pray that during this Christmas season, you would be the center of our affections. You would receive from us the worship that you deserve. We would trust you. We would resolve to follow you as our leader and our Lord. Truly, you are an amazing God, and we thank you for this good news that has reached us down through the centuries. We give you thanks in your name. Amen.